Welcome to another episode of This Silly with the Wooligans. Mitch, Brad.
Hello.
Bird.
Hi.
Tried to catch you while you're taking a drink there.
And you did.
Congrats. I was hustling. I was like, I can get it while he's in mid-drink there and I can fuck him up.
I'll have another drink. I don't care.
Yeah. We're professionals. So, a lot going on. For having nothing going on, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, again, I mean, we're still in preseason, but I did look at the calendar today, boys, and this coming weekend is our last weekend without soccer.
Yes.
I mean,
thank God.
I mean, the preseason technically starts tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a game this weekend, but we won't be able to stream it or watch it in any way. But then
we'll be able to follow it on the Twitters.
Yeah, but then the very next weekend we'll be at Soccer Park to see SIU. Then we got our AGM. Then we got two games at Soccer Park the next weekend, and then our trip to Evansville.
And then the
season starts. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, we're out of time. I think it's time to switch back.
I don't think it's out of time. I think time's up, and it's about time. It's a countdown.
This offseason's been a slog.
Yes, oh, it
has been a slog.
I think this has been the longest offseason feeling in all 3 years.
I think part of that was because it took so long to name the head coach. And you know what I mean? Like, our offseason kind of got stretched out because last year we knew Preki was the coach in October.
Yeah, something like that.
And it stretched it out a little bit more, but I'm ready. I'm so ready.
Well, and I think it also helps, too, is that the signings didn't all come in a huge bunch like it did last year at the beginning.
Yeah.
Where, you know, here's a guy, a week later, here's a guy, a week later, here's, you know, it's like last year it was, here's five guys on one day. This year it's like one a week, and it kind of stretches it out even longer feeling.
I hope there's a few more signings before this is over.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of guys training with them down there on trial, so.
Yeah. Well, let's just start going through the news. Right after the podcast last week, we found out our friend Mirko is going to Tulsa.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of suspected something was up. He was one of Preki's guys that he brought in. So it makes sense with the regime change. Maybe he wanted to move on.
I liked Mirko a lot. I thought he was a tenacious player. I think he was a leader on the field. And it just took my heartstrings a little bit when I seen one of the Tulsa's preseason games and he's there in their lineup.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's Mirko.
Well, and he's the kind of guy that will hurt us.
Like, oh, no question.
He will break up a play, or he will do something in one of our three games against Tulsa. And I mean, I love the kid. Mm-hmm. It's one of those guys you love to have on your team and you hate to play against.
No, there's no question.
When I described him to Josh, the Rustabout guy down there, he said to me, "What do you think about this Mirko kid?" I'm like, "Oh, he's great. You'll love him. You'll love him. He's hard as nails. He's a ball winner. He's a leader. He'll rally the troops." And he's like, "Oh, that's exactly what we need. And they'll love him down there."
Oh yeah,
anybody would love him. I mean, he's an instant charm to a team. I mean, my only frustration with the guy is that he was hurt for a third of the season, and that really kind of, you know, hurt our expectations and what we were going to get.
Yeah, but I think we would have been a better team last season if Mirko hadn't gone down.
Yeah,
and he really connected with the fans too.
Oh, no question.
He really did. I mean, straight off the bat, he's emailing and tweeting.
For all the talk we had last year about we didn't have that connection with the team, he was one guy that went that extra mile to make sure it happened.
Yeah, and I'll never forget even when we got him to go on the pod at the one meet and greet. He was really nervous because he didn't want to say something to upset the fans.
Yeah.
He wanted to make sure he was projecting.
Boy, but when I said something about him on the pod, I got in the call. I was like, "That's not what I said. Please don't kill me."
No, that was a lost in translation thing because you didn't say it.
Right.
You were saying what other people were saying.
Right.
Yes.
But but again, I like a guy that's not shy about, "Hey, you know, what'd you say about me?"
Yeah, no. That's who we want.
And he's that guy.
It's that killer instinct.
And he's open and he's honest and he's not going to bullshit you. And yeah, like as you said, Tulsa's going to love him.
They will love him.
I don't know if he'll love Tulsa.
But but give it three games and we've got our own new marauding despot in midfield and we'll love him too.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice choice of terms there.
And I have a feeling that's going to be the way with this entire team. I mean, it happens every year. Yeah. You lose a guy you really like, or you know, a fan favorite doesn't come back for whatever reason.
People love Seth, but we have Corey Hertzog to replace him. I mean, Corey Hertzog,
yeah,
top flight guy in this league.
Yeah,
you know, as much as you might like Seth,
we're replacing him. We needed Seth so bad last year because there were no goals, and Seth was making things happen. On paper, we've replaced the goals
with tripled them.
Right. So, I mean, I can say this. I reached out to some former players just to ask what's going on, and Seth got back to me. And nothing to report. He's keeping his options open, and he said as soon as he knows, he'll let us know where he's headed. Same with Tyler David. Tyler got back to me. He's working out. He's back home up in Minnesota. And, you know, he's waiting for a spot. And I know some people are like, oh, we're running out of spots. But if you look through that USL tracker, there's a lot of open spots on these teams still. So quality players like that, I think, will find a home.
There's no question.
And Seth has the option of going back to Europe still because he's got connections back there.
It's one of those things, too, is that, you know, we did lose a team this year, or two teams, technically. Three teams.
Well, yeah.
I mean, like, but we also gained a couple of teams as well. So, you know, it's offsets, but those are players that are looking for new homes too.
There's a lot of players in this market looking for jobs.
Yeah.
There absolutely are. I mean, all the contracted teams, all the NASL teams that are going to NPSL and what have you, there's a lot of players fighting for jobs.
Yeah.
And we've seen this before.
And even Indy, who found a new home, they are retooling their whole lineup. So even though that team didn't go away, there's 20 players that are still looking for homes.
And we've seen this in years before. Guys that were on the team ended up not catching on anywhere. You know, we'll use Vince Ciccarelli, who, had one less goal than Seth did last year?
Yeah.
You know, if you want to compare apples to apples, Vince ended up not catching on anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's a hard market, you know, to find a new home a lot of times.
Yeah, but like I said, you look through the USL tracker, there's a lot of teams with a lot of holes to fill still. So, you know,
do you think it's a case of who blinks first? Once someone makes a couple of moves, then a bunch of dominoes will fall?
You know, I don't know. I think part of it's on their agents. I think they have to assess the marketplace and assess it, you know, well. How much is my client worth, and what is his value to either an MLS team or a USL team? Or, you know, where you accurately fall in that lineup. And maybe sometimes these agents give them bad ideas that, no, you can get more money. And by the time you realize, oh, maybe I should have taken the offer I got early this, you know, fall, and it might not be on the table still. So that's the other part of this.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. I obviously will never get the full truth out of anybody on it, but it's got to be difficult for agents at this level to really gauge what's going on. You know,
and don't forget the whole NASL thing was still up in the air. I mean, we still thought there was going to be an NASL this year, even though we knew it was diminished and we knew it was on its last legs. Agents may not have accounted for the fact that, you know, four or five teams worth of players were going to flood the market.
Well, that would also be a terrible failure on their job. Well, but that's the point. I mean, you know, you got to figure these guys.
You've also got these NASL players that are coming off 80, 90 grand a year contracts, all of a sudden getting offers for 35, 40.
Yeah.
Because that's the viable marketplace. And
that's where a guy like Seth, and I don't know anything. This is just me speculating. You know, he may have said, okay, I'm due for a raise because I played pretty well last year on a bad team. And maybe he was planning to go, you know, to another team. And then that other team realizes, oh, I can get this NASL striker who's worth 200 grand a year, and I can get him down to 50 grand a year, whatever, you know, the deal is. And then Seth all of a sudden finds himself in between, you know, that level of player and a top USL player.
Well, and the other part about that being is that that other player may be more productive than, you know, the scale changes so quickly and so widely that I think if you don't have a quick action to it, you're maybe left out.
And then again, speculation, a guy like Tyler might be looking for a way to MLS.
Yeah.
So like Alec Cochran signed, AJ Cochran signed with Atlanta because he thought that was his best shot to get another bite at that apple. Maybe Tyler's looking around for an MLS 2 team or, you know, some place to fit in where, because he's still young enough and he's got the body, he's got the speed. Maybe he thinks that's his best way up.
And also Tyler, the thing for me about Tyler is that he can pretty much play anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, he can play right through the middle, defense. He can play up front if need be. I mean, he's got a lot of tools, Tyler.
But I said to you the other day, don't you secretly think that every market has one of those? Every market already has their Tyler David.
I think so.
And I think, as much as I think, oh, God, any team would love to have Tyler David, they might already have that guy, and they don't need two of that guy.
Well, and not only that, but their guy might be cheaper.
Or local, or whatever, you know, connection they want. You get
multiple options there. Right. They may just say it's easier to stick with the familiar.
Now, I still think Tyler has a huge upside, and I still think he'll catch on somewhere. And the same with Seth. He'll find a spot. It may not be ideally what he wanted, or maybe you know, he doesn't view things the same way we as fans view it. He may find what he's looking for. So
it's got to be hard. I wish them luck because I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Speaking of hard decisions, we found out right before the pod started, our good friend Patrick Duty has decided to retire.
It breaks my heart. It really does.
Yeah, he's got game left in him.
We saw him for one game down here last year, and nothing had missed in 2 years. He still had the same stride, the same touch. The guy was a baller.
There are a lot of places he could continue his career. I gotta wonder if it's a financial issue.
It's gotta be the economics of it, because you know we were talking about this several times before today, and now it comes back around again. That you look at some of these guys where, you know, if you're getting elbowed out to where you have to take a minimum contract, you know, working at Worldwide Technology probably pays more than it does playing soccer.
Yeah.
You know, or wherever, you know.
Well, and especially if Chicago is let him go. He had a guaranteed minimum in MLS, and, mm-hmm. and you mentioned he was a homegrown, so that adds a little few dollars there too. Now if he comes and signs in USL, he's probably cutting his paycheck in half.
At least by a third. Yeah. I guarantee by a third.
And I hate to say this about left backs, but they're kind of valued a little bit less than the Corey Herzogs of the world.
God damn it, I want a good left back.
But the other thing is, too, is that, you know, he was one of the lucky guys where he's from Chicago,
yeah.
Got drafted by Chicago, the homegrown designation, played for Chicago, played here. Okay, yeah, it's right, you know. It's 4 hours away. Right. You know, that's close enough that you can say it's close enough to home. If it's here or playing in Richmond, or
maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't want to continue if it means
going further away,
playing in Tulsa.
Right. Yeah. You know, it may be maybe that situation. And again, when you put the economics to it,
or you throw in Orange County, which maybe he'd get the same amount of money, but the cost of living is four times as much in Orange County.
Yeah. And that's another having, and that's Orange County is not the only one like that. Problem too, is that, you know, you've got Toronto, you've got New York, you've got pretty much anywhere in California, let's be honest. I mean, really, if you're not in the central, it's good chance of being expensive.
But you also mentioned Vince Cicirelli. Vince Cicirelli's got a degree from SLU.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to be on $25,000 a year.
Yeah,
forever.
Right.
You know,
and they've also made good connections. I mean, being a Chicago Fire player, I'm sure he knows a lot of Chicago Fire fans that have good jobs available in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, you mentioned Worldwide Technology. We know Mike Ambersley's working at Worldwide now. Yeah. You know, these players do okay for themselves post playing career.
Well, and that's the other thing too, is that, you know, you got to touch it.
Yeah.
You got to taste it. This comes back to something that, you know, I hate to bring up in light of that Jeff Cameron article that was out the other day on the Atlantic, or the Players Tribune, I'm sorry. You know, is Patrick maybe one of those guys that U.S. soccer did a disservice to? I'm not saying that he's a world-class player. If he was
in Europe, he could play second division and still make a really good living.
Yes.
And he can't do that here.
No.
Correct.
Not at all.
And that's why the
quote, especially as a left back.
And that's why the quote by Cordero about, you know, we have one of the best second divisions in the world is kind of laughable. You know, I have to.
We made talent-wise.
And you know, I guess it goes by what your metrics
different,
are.
Yeah, different ways to measure it, but.
But I will put Patrick Doody up there as a guy that's going to slip through the cracks, and he's a quality player.
He could have had two or three more years in USL if it was the right. You know, again,
we're assuming it was money. It could be anything. Who knows?
But I think Patrick Doody is the kind of guy that could demand a 3-year contract in this league.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
Very few players are offered 2-year contracts, let alone 3. But Doody's the kind of guy that you give that money to.
And at his age, which is starting to cross over into the journeyman era, he needs some security. He needs some guarantee. And soccer in this country isn't there yet.
No, it's not. And that's a shame. And you know, when we see U.S. soccer having this money surplus,
yeah,
you know, where's it coming from? Where's it doing? You know, maybe this is something where this, you know, a better reinvestment into the leagues gives this kind of opportunity.
Well, and I mean, I don't want to start this conversation, but just throw it out there that, you know, there is talk that maybe the USL guys need to start thinking about a players' union at this level.
I
mean, it causes problems, but it also fixes some things.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and again, you know, from a team standpoint, I want my team to be able to field the best players they can, but you know, you brought up the Grant Wall book before we got on the air where they tell the story about the rookie of the year in LA who the next season was like, nope, I'm going to go be a landscaper at my dad's landscaping company because I can afford to live that way.
Yeah.
That's a
problem. And back then, MLS rookies were making
14 grand
15
a year.
Grand a year. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The players union has gotten that up. It's still not, you know, what you think of as professional sports money, but it's livable wage.
And they still have opportunities to earn elsewhere with camps, and, you know, they could still, quote-unquote, have a winter job.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on. Let's talk about some news also that's come out since the last pod. Our academy kids were signed. We expected Aiden Stanley and Jack Mahar to get signed again, and they also added Seth Stiebel. He's a goalkeeper. So
it's awesome.
Those three academy kids are going to be on our roster this year. And it won't last too long because also announced Aiden Stanley has signed with Duke. He will be going to Duke in the fall, which we knew that was the plan. But secretly, I kind of hoped he would opt to forego college and stay pro.
I mean, you want him to have the best life he can after we just got done saying you have to get a degree.
A Duke degree does go a long way in this world.
Yeah, but at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and Jack Mahar will be going to Indiana University, another powerhouse in college soccer, and he's going to be an anchor of their team. So,
but again, showing that this region produces such quality players.
Yes, it does. And, you know, I might not have named Seth Stiebel or talked about him too much as a keeper, but we found out that Gomez is going to be out for a couple of months with a hip injury.
Yeah.
Unlike Heinemann, we didn't terminate his contract. We're gonna help him get that fixed. And he's already had the surgery. I'm sure this is something the team knew about when they signed him.
Gotta imagine.
But he's gonna be out for at least a couple months.
The current report sounds like he's kind of ahead of recovery schedule. So that's a good sign.
He did travel down to Florida with the team. I think he's coming back early to get some more rehab in, but went down there at least to become one of the guys and get to know everybody. And that hurts because he was my number one. We also found out Gorick's not coming back. So that was kind of our number two. Well, now it's all on Fennelson, Orlando B keeper from last year that Ant has worked with.
Names.
I know. So it looks like we're going to see some of Jake right off the bat in goal.
Attaboy, Jake. Let's go Zips.
But again, you know, people come here, goalies come here to play for Jones because he makes.
Whoever's out there, Jones is going to have them ready.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen this every year, you know, in the past 3 years. We saw it.
Our number one goalie never ends up being our number one goalie. So
unfortunately, it seems to be true. Yeah. But. That's all right, because it works out in the end.
Yep.
Kurt Warner syndrome.
And maybe Seth will even see some time in there. So,
yeah, got to wonder.
Yep. Speaking of training camp, it started. The boys are down in Florida, but I did want to mention our guest from the last podcast, Martz.
Austin
Martz. he won the beep test, the dreaded beep test.
Yeah, and, as soon as he was talking about it.
And yeah. If you don't know what the beep test is, basically it's torture.
Hell.
But you just Google soccer beep test, and you will see that Austin Martz is a fit individual.
Basically, you run until you die.
Yeah, they keep,
that's it.
They keep playing beeps, and you just every time you hear one, you have to take off as fast as you can.
Yeah.
And he was the last man standing. Survived. Sam Fink went to the end with him. So,
but again, you know, that's good to hear from our perspective, is that these new guys, Sam's a new guy coming in, but you know, these are the kind of players that we want, you know, the fit, the aggressive, the ready to go.
Yeah. Also last couple of weeks, more rumors of a Minnesota United. It was announced we have a relationship with
it's
Minnesota.
It's complicated.
It's complicated.
Found him on Craigslist?
Yeah. Some people are speculating that it will be an affiliation and some
friends with benefits.
And every time I ask Jeremy, he says, no, we haven't talked. So it could still end up being an affiliation. But right now it looks like they're just going to loan some players to us when they need guys to get time or if we need help.
Yeah.
And I like that better than an official affiliation, because sometimes you feel
obligated,
icky. but like I said, now that I've said that, they probably will be an official affiliate.
Yeah.
But either way,
tomorrow it'll get announced.
But the fact of the matter is, we've just waxed lyrical on Patrick Doody.
Yeah.
And that was a perfect use of an affiliation.
And I don't think when we were affiliates with Chicago, there maybe that first year they had tried to put some pressure on us with Khan. Particularly,
but the first year was different because they sent us quality players.
Yeah,
not really. Kingsley Bryce on the bench for three months.
What I'm getting at is they're not dictating.
But
who plays?
Alec Khan, Patrick Doody, those are quality at least. The next year we got nothing. We got Drew Connor for three games.
Yeah,
Drew Connor was great.
Yeah, but we had him for like three games and he was gone.
But that was good though. He proved his worth down there.
Oh, absolutely. Good for him. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But it wasn't a good use of the affiliation.
Well, as long as they're not giving and taking away to mess with our coaching and our style of play.
But Richard Dixon, we were out west, and Richard Dixon had his citizenship test. Now, the U.S. immigration system doesn't care where you are.
Right.
If you've got to have that test in St. Louis on this day, that's where you've got to be.
Right.
It doesn't matter. So I know that they called up Chicago and said, we need a right back,
right.
Like today.
Right.
And they flew Eric Gehrig out there at the drop of a hat. And that to me is another good use of an affiliation.
What I'm trying to get at is it will never be a two-team situation.
No,
there's never going to be any, which people,
the uninformed
right.
presume it's the big brother, little brother right. situation. And it's just not that.
But that's not what would be the situation here. And like I try to tell people, you get MLS quality players for free. That's the way I look at it. As long as they don't interfere with Ant's plans, I'm fine with it.
But if someone comes down here with Billy Big Boot syndrome, it's not gonna work. And I think Khan and Doody and Greg Cochran, when he came down here for those couple of games, came down here with the right attitude. I mean, we had Drew Connor on the pod when he first got here, and he said, I look at what Patrick did last year here and how it's helped him, and I want to do the same here.
Well, and even Mike McGee, when he came down for that one game against Louisville, he didn't have I'm MLS, I'm too big for this. I mean, he had fun with it. He, you know, signed a shirt for fans and, you know, came over and thanked us after the game. I mean, I think most of your professional soccer players have a good attitude about it, unless they were the pampered one since they were young. I mean, you know what I mean.
No.
Like a Freddie Adu.
He just had to bring that name up, didn't
you? Yeah, we'll get there.
But no, I agree. And I, again, it comes back to my dislike of how U.S. soccer handles things. But I think you're right. I think it is one of those things where most of these guys understand what's at stake and what's in it and what it means for the positive. I think, as Bird said, though, the biggest problem is always the uninformed person, and we can't fix stupid.
No. But like I said, I mean, with Drew Connor, as long as Ant doesn't say, okay, we got this kid, I'm going to build my entire offense around him, and then they yank him away.
Right, yeah. Right.
Or at the last minute, throw down a kid and say, I really need this guy to get a weekend here. No, we get final say so over who plays, when they play, and, you know, all that.
Now, if they say, hey, we'd like to send you this guy for a weekend, can you use him?
Yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah.
fine. Yeah. But, I think, and then that's the thing, I think it's a better relationship than do this.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I mean, Minnesota United specifically, Adrian Heath knows Anthony.
Yeah.
So they should have a certain understanding or relationship that they know what each other is all about.
I think our front office is got big enough balls to turn around and say, no, that's we're not just your lapdogs here.
Right.
I have to believe that. I mean, I can't imagine
no
otherwise.
All right. Next story. NASL sues USSF. Again, I don't even know what this one's about.
Because that's just always
another,
it's well.
Just another lawsuit. There's only one team left. Jacksonville and Miami are going to play in NPSL.
Good luck with that.
And so it's Cosmos.
Yeah. Give it up. Yeah. Just
speaking of give it up, NISA announced they do not have the eight teams necessary for D3 sanctioning.
Oh, he died today, didn't he?
Not Peter Will.
Not Peter Will, but his buddy, his partner, Cully. Yeah. Cully, yeah, he passed away today. God bless him.
Yeah, I'm terribly sorry for that. But this was before that. They didn't have eight teams, so they will not qualify for D3 sanctioning, at least this year.
Shocking.
And then in an even stranger turn of events, Jacksonville, their owner's trying to put together a rogue league called Division Zero that will not be USSF certified.
Good luck with that. Good luck getting referees.
But that's what I'm saying. You know, that means no referees.
The players
will be ineligible for any FIFA competitions.
Yep. And quite honestly, nobody's going to want to take a look at them afterwards for that reason. You know,
they'll be blackballed.
Not directly, but it's
like your better players in NASL last year were getting call ups to Costa Rica or to Puerto Rico or whatever national teams they hail from,
except ours.
That all goes away. No, NASL players actually with Minnesota got called into the U.S. league or U.S. team, but all that goes away.
Yeah,
it's gone. So if I'm a top player in NASL who's occasionally an Irvin Herrera, who's occasionally getting called into my national team, I don't want any part of that Division Zero nonsense.
Well, not only that,
but Herrera scored twice this week. Just saying.
Wait, was that when there were still 22 men on the field?
It was a different game. Okay.
Because you were live tweeting that game. There were 47 red cards.
That was ridiculous.
The game had to be postponed. Said, there wasn't enough players on the field.
You sent me a message and my phone dinged, and I saw it was from you, but I didn't check it. Well, then by the time I checked it, you were telling me that there was already two red cards, and then there was two more.
South American soccer.
I need to try to find video. Somebody's got to have
video.
I want to
know what happened. I want to know what happened.
That'll be my
goal. Well, and my favorite part was red card TBD. Yeah. It's like, we don't know who did it, but somebody's getting kicked out of this game.
But back to the Division Zero thing, the whole referee thing. I talked to Mark Gardner about it because he's a referee. Yeah. And he's like, why would you give up any opportunity you have to make money being a referee to go do this one league, 16 games,
right,
or whatever it would be.
So then they're not getting the best referees, and we already know, God love the poor referees, at this level they get abused because they can't but they can't make a right decision that will please the fans. They just can't. So you're getting Division Zero guys. What are they going to call people like me and you off the couch to do it? I mean, good luck.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing, too, is that, you know, if we do, we're never getting it, you know.
Yeah, then you'll never get a sniff at a real.
Also.
And not only that, but you got to imagine, too, is that the same people that control those kind of things are also going to control high school and college.
Yeah. And, well, all those guys want to move up the ladder.
Right. And, you know, so then, you know, essentially.
You've taken yourself off of the ladder.
You're basically making $10 a game at CYC.
I guess you could do XFL games.
The thing is, though, if you're a referee, you want the weight of U.S. soccer behind you to protect you.
Oh, yeah. That's the other part.
If a player punches you in the face, that player is going to get banned for life.
Right.
If you're in Division Zero with no sanctioning and the referee gets clocked, who's banning that player?
Thunderball.
Who's banning him? Where's the protection for the referees there?
It just all seems sketchy as hell. So,
It's awful.
But again, I mean,
but give it up again.
But these are guys who are saying never USL. What the fuck are you holding on to? USL's, I mean, I'm not under any delusion that it's perfect, but it's stable, it's growing.
And let's be honest, if anything, USL is going to be the best challenger to MLS at some point in time at this rate.
I think USL's got ambitions of its own, yeah.
I wouldn't
be. And I think if they do the pro rel with Division 2 and 3, it can start to thrive.
Well, and the other thing is, too, is that, you know, if you've got 30 teams in markets 25 to 55.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably reaching more people than you are two LA teams in one LA market.
Well, and then you add another 30 or 40 teams in the division below mm-hmm. who think maybe if we play our cards right, even if it's not pro rel, but if we grow and we do our business, maybe we can, you know, buy our way up into that. It becomes a lot more attractive.
It's got to.
So, all right, we have to talk about Vegas for just a second. Those jerseys.
Wow.
They like them. You know, I don't get it.
But you know what, though? I think at this point in time, it's ugly for the sake. It's
gaudy for the sake gaudy of
for the gaudy. Yeah, yeah, gaudy is the word.
That's and the whole smiley word. Face, they're talking about how innovative that is. That one team did it with Burger King years ago.
Yeah.
Remember the Burger King logo face was under their jersey? And this is not new. Some team did it with a dog before.
Yeah. It's
this is not revolutionary.
It's been done many times over.
And you do it on the field, you'll get a yellow card.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
yeah, that's the other
you're
thing.
Not allowed to pull your shirt over your head, period. Yeah.
What good does that do? You're expecting all the fans to do it?
Yeah, Zappos.
Hey, I like Zappos.
And the other Vegas note I wanted to make, they had their first game. The goalie was a train wreck.
Oh my God.
Basically tackled a guy on a breakaway.
He's pretty much done.
Yeah.
I think they said he already got released.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I'm not positive, but I believe I read that.
And the other point of note, Freddie Adu didn't even check into the game.
Wait, what?
So their big moment, they sold out their field there in Las Vegas.
I don't think they sold it out for Freddie, though.
No, but I mean, this is a big deal. This is Vegas's first game at home.
The highlight moments.
And Freddie did not even make it onto the pitch. So
the tail of the tape, everyone was making a big to-do of the old, you know, standing room only, blah, 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 MLS. That's not the benchmark. The benchmark is when Las Vegas have lost three in a row, and Portland 2 come to town.
Yeah.
On a Tuesday night.
Then what? That's your barometer.
But I will say the league overall seems to be stepping up.
Yes.
I think Vegas will do well. I think Nashville is going to do really well.
For as long as they're here.
And I think St. Louis has to get out of its own fucking way. These people that stay at home and watch soccer on TV, if they don't come out, then it's never going to get any bigger than it is. Which is fine. I enjoy 5,000 people, you know, at our park. I think it's great. But I would like a 10,000 seat stadium closer to downtown. And I would like more people to come out and have fun with us because it's a great time.
I think I'm going to pick on Mark again because he vented at me the other day when we were talking. And I think he's right to an extent, but I think he's wrong to an extent. We have to start performing on the field.
Oh, no, without a doubt.
The be-all, end-all, winning. Losing is poison, and it takes a while for that poison to get out of the system. And this team
has been bad for 3 years.
Yes. Now, that said, we put together a good year this year, and the numbers go up.
Yeah.
Then next year, okay, then let's start talking about maybe a 10,000-seat stadium.
Yeah.
If I'm Jim and Tom, I'm not putting a dollar towards any sort of investment until I start seeing a return of what I got.
No, I don't blame them. I'm blaming the people that are staying home.
But I also don't blame people that are staying home if you're coming out and seeing us lose 4-1.
I don't blame the people who've come out and tried it.
Yes, I agree with that.
I blame the people who've never come out yet.
I agree.
And there are a lot of them, and you know there are.
And a lot of them were at a certain bar on Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Hot Shots.
That's right. The Mardi Gras parade was last weekend. I know a lot of people went out and had some fun. It was cold out there, but God love them. They represented well.
Popped some smoke on the march, I saw.
Yes, and they apparently downed a bottle of Jameson's before it even started.
That's a good sign.
Sarah's hands felt weird.
Yay!
Do we want to talk about the U.S. soccer presidential election?
No.
It's a farce.
Carlos Cordero won. I guess that was a better choice than Kathy Carter from some.
It is, but it's...
It was a safe choice. It was an easy choice, but it's not a choice for change.
It's side B to the single. It's the same band. That's
exactly what.
But I think I think he's better than Carter.
Oh, absolutely.
But I don't think any of them had enough confidence in. I'm thinking Martino was probably the most likely to get elected of the so-called change candidates.
But you know what? And somebody had said it beforehand, and I forget who it was. It might have been Alexi Lalas or somebody like that. Those six candidates took away from putting together a strong. They divided up what could have been a potential.
I don't know. You add them all up, they still didn't get as many as Carter or Cordero on that first round.
There is, but I think that's the problem is that there was too much noise.
Kartik Kirschner made a good point, which I don't always agree with his articles. But the last night before the election, there was an attempt to build a coalition.
Yes.
They call it the Gang of Six.
Yeah.
And they wanted to go forward as a block and say, this, we are whoever they appointed, you know, Martino or Winalda or whoever it was going to be. And Kartik said there was an opportunity to get some of the Players Council to switch over to that change candidate. But he said the fact that they couldn't even get that together convinced them they weren't ready. None of them was ready.
Exactly.
And they went back to Cordero instead of Carter.
Well, let's be honest. Winalda and Hope, those are two people that have egos the size of the stadium.
True, but Hope made some good points in her speech.
Again,
I'm not discounting what they said, but I'm just saying.
I mean, she's a hot mess.
Neither of them are going to back down to support somebody
else.
And
that's why I thought Martino was a better choice, because I don't think he would piss off as many people as Winalda.
I agree.
And I also think he's less likely to quit in a huff if he didn't get his way.
Yeah, again.
I mean, Winalda's perfect for 2 years in a job. I mean, honestly.
No, it's true. And you know, as much as I love Hope and I agree with what she said, she's a disaster.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's not going to represent anybody. Nobody's going to
take her seriously now.
Right.
But she made a good speech.
Oh, she did. She's fantastic. But again, you know, it's...
So nothing changes?
No.
I don't see anything changing.
Meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, it really...
He may pay some lip service. He may bring in Martino and Winalda and do some talks with them and may make some, some slight changes here and there.
Yeah, of minor points.
But I don't
points.
Think it will be anything big.
Well, let's be honest. It's politics.
Yeah.
It's no different than...
And Kathy Carter will still be the president of some.
During this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and so nothing's going to change on that end. So
nothing will change. We were so gung-ho for change after we failed to qualify for the World Cup, and nothing has come about.
No.
When Germany didn't get out of the group stage of the Euros in 2000,
they blew it up.
They blew it up and started again. What have we done?
Nothing.
What have we
and the,
done?
And the worst thing about...
And that's
about
why you need to read... I shared it from the Luligan account, the Jeff Cameron article.
Oh, the Cameron article.
Unbelievable. Superb. It's phenomenal. When I read that, I almost got emotional because it's like, that's exactly... And going to the Germany thing. Here we sit with this surplus of money in USSF, the perfect opportunity to do what they did, to do what Jeff Cameron talked about, to put these resources into the local... communities and build it up to establish the game as a viable, breathable option for great athletes. Nah, we're just going to stick with the same.
Yeah.
You know, okay, then pay to play is going to live forever. This is exactly what you've bought into. And honestly, most of the people that are voting have a stake in that.
Yeah, not too many of the actual voters are wanting too much to change.
No.
Because they all make a pretty good living doing what they're doing.
Exactly. So why would any of these people want to change?
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. Twitter polls are stupid. But
I refuse to even get embroiled in that nonsense.
But
you want a sword?
I want a sword. I have no faith that we're going to win this because, you know.
I'll buy you a sword. How about that?
It's just going to come down to that. Somebody just buy me a sword.
Can we get a title?
But it's fun to do these things. But, I mean, they mean nothing, so. But, I mean, just go vote. There's a chance we could get a sword. I mean, sword.
I will make the promise that we'll keep it away from Rocco as much as we can.
Popularity contest.
Well, and it's actually a Twitter account that doesn't have a whole lot of followers looking for followers.
Yeah.
I'll name a bunch of teams that have a lot of supporters
and get them to,
and get them to retweet my thing, which it worked. I did it, but sword.
Not following it.
No, oh, I'm not following it. Not I voted. No, you need to go vote.
I'll vote for Energy FC.
There you go. I did go
through. I'm going to use that stab to run you through.
I've already been run through this week. I'm all right. True. Thanks, boss.
Give you a matching side.
I did want to mention ESPN, or MLS, I should say, announced today that they're switching to ESPN Plus for their online game provider.
God, I think it's just a matter of time before we go that way.
Well, that's the only reason I'm bringing it up. Yeah. They got rid of their MLS Direct Kick, which I think was $80 a year. And yes. Now this ESPN Plus is going to be a $5 a month subscription.
Which is not bad.
It's designed for cord cutters, so you don't have to have an ESPN subscription. You can just pay the $5 a month. And it doesn't come if you have an ESPN subscription, so you're going to have to buy it if you want it. But you'll get all of the MLS games. As Matt mentioned, I think this could be a way for the future. It's nice they're all on YouTube. It's nice we get to, you know, see those. But I think, you know, we've already got the deal where the game of the week gets played on ESPN or whatever.
Three.
So, and ESPN 3 is going away.
Right.
This is taking its place. So
yep.
It's only a matter of time before this is probably what's going to happen.
And let's be honest, this is kind of the way most of this stuff is going anyway with, like you said, cord cutting.
Yeah.
I personally cord cut recently. It's been phenomenal. This is a long time coming. I know a lot of other Lilligans have done it. I talked to a lot of them when I did it to make this decision. I personally have no problem tossing them $5 a month to get these things. I mean,
it's been nice that it's free, but $5 a month isn't too much to ask.
No.
Considering all... Now, and I'm assuming ESPN's production values will be higher.
That was going to be the next part.
And you'll
part.
Get the weekly show about the league and stuff like that.
Do we get those kind of benefits, or is it just like bull we'll riding was on ESPN 2 back in the 90s?
We'll have to see. And it also includes, I mean, you're a hockey fan. It includes some hockey stuff. It includes...
There's no hockey on ESPN.
Well, I don't know. They're going to have shows about hockey. I don't know if they'll have...
No,
All right. There's no hockey.
Seriously, they'll have three. They'll have 3-hour-long shows about what LeBron ate for dinner.
There will be other shows. There will be NBA stuff. There will be, you know, NFL stuff.
There's cricket. I know that much.
There you go.
Is it on it?
Yeah, I just watched England, New Zealand today.
It's on that ESPN deal?
It's on ESPN 3 right now.
So it will be a part of this
I
new...
I imagine so, yeah.
All right, I'm in.
Maybe curling.
Oh. I mean, no, that's NBC. NBC has curling rights.
Maybe not for the different competitions.
Monster Energy Curling League.
Right. I want to see that Russian girl. Yikes. One bad thing I want to mention. We got a notice today, the parking. Soccer park parking is always an issue.
And it's going to be worse.
And the price has gone up again. The parking pass, if you buy the pass for the whole year, it's $12 a game, and it comes out to $204, which is conveniently the same price as a season ticket. I know Pat Barry and Jeremy and Fred and everybody gets tired of me saying this, but seriously, the parking is too expensive.
I get that it's essentially free money, and I get that they need this money to sign a Corey Hertzog.
You're punishing your season ticket holders because we have no option.
That's my problem. If I'm a season ticket holder, I need a bigger discount. If I'm a one-time person, yep, take it up the ass.
And it could be, I mean, you've basically just doubled season ticket prices for an individual.
For an individual, yes.
And maybe that individual decides, oh, maybe I'll only go to 6 games instead of the whole season.
Maybe I get a flex plan.
And then how many beer sales do you lose? I mean... I think it's the other penny wise, pound foolish. I think
the other part is I went to the Blues game last week. It was a disaster of a game. Took Jack. Since I had him, I wanted to park close. Parking close to Kiel Center was a block and a half away, 2 blocks away, $25. Soccer park doesn't have scaled out parking. Yes, there's.
I think across the street, it's $5 cheaper.
Yeah, and there's pub to park, but pub to park doesn't get you the tailgate, you know, because obviously the bars want
to maximize it. And it sells out every week. It's not like a lot of people can do that.
You know, I look at a lot of single people that are season ticket holders. It's awful. Yeah. I mean, us, we're going to meet here and we're going to go
and
together.
And they'll say carpool, but that's not always convenient.
No. And we're lucky that you know, 4, 5, 6 of us meet here, have drinks beforehand, and then go over.
Right.
that's us. You know, that's not common. And honestly, I think you're going to see more people doing that. So if you're going to sell a parking pass at $12 a game, you're going to see four people getting into one car and splitting that instead of two or three people buying them at a cheaper price.
Right.
So you're only making
$12. You're making less money, yeah.
You're making less money per individual parking
right.
than you would be if you actually charge less.
I just think it's ridiculous. And I know they're going to explain to me the whole thing about, you know, well, there's limited parking and we have to do it. And we have, you know, I get it. Make the money someplace else. It's robbery.
I think I'd actually rather have the ticket prices go up.
It would look better, but I don't know. I mean, it just seems so rapey. I don't know.
Again, the biggest problem is there are no other options.
Yeah.
You're a captive audience.
All right. I'll probably get a call tomorrow.
Yep.
Tell me shut up.
Yep. But we are independent. We can do and think as we please.
Yes. I love a lot of what they do. But the parking has always been an issue. And will continue to be an issue.
Until they build the
Fred Memorial parking garage.
Yeah, I was going to say, are we going to give it to Fred, I guess?
All right, let's do questions. Didn't have a whole lot, just a few. Sean Fusco wanted to know, Nashville SC this week announced that they're going to move their home opener to the big Tennessee Titans park.
Put it in the dome. What?
Well, no, he makes a good point. Why don't we do something like that? I will say they've talked about doing that before, moving it down to the dome, actually, or SLU. And then I want to say, but they did it last year. And nobody came.
I think
SLU had less attendance at that preseason game, which was before the MLS vote.
So there was than
any game at Soccer Park.
Yep.
I do think there's a difference between being an exhibition and being a competitive game. I think, remember, not last year, but the year before, there was a potential that we could have played Sporting KC here.
Yeah.
I think if they could have sold, I don't know, maybe what, 15,000 for that?
Yeah.
If it had happened, there was potential. I think there's potential to possibly make something like that happen if we get the right draw in the Open Cup or something. But
well, don't forget, it's not like, oh, well, we could just use the dome for free. They'd have to rent it out. They'd have to pay for it. And if you can't guarantee more than 5,000 people, it's a dumb business move.
And not only that, but you got to worry about them getting the turf down and making sure that the weekend is actually open.
But I also do like the fact that Chicago Fire had to come and play in our little ramshackle, tight field. It's what the Open Cup to me is all about. It's like seeing when Tottenham have to go to Newport.
Right,
I actually like that. I mean, there's pros and cons to it.
I'll say they have talked about it. They've discussed it. They've planned it. You know,
again, they did it at SLU and nobody showed up. So
yeah. So again, maybe that goes back to we need to win,
and maybe that goes back to the people in the city need to actually go to games.
Yeah. Sarah wanted to know about me calling Jimmy Blood Jimmy Big Flags on social media this weekend.
I think it needs to stick.
I saw a picture of him holding two big flags, and immediately I thought Jimmy Big Flags.
We had Stevie Two Hats, and
that's right,
and Jimmy Big Flags now.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy's the guy with the big flags. Always.
Always.
So, sorry, Jimmy. You're now Jimmy Big Flags.
Could be worse.
Johnny wanted to know, he'd love to have a call and response chant with the other side of the field. He sits over in Section 6, and he says it's dead over there. Johnny, we've tried.
People in Section 6 are boring.
We've tried to do that. We do have some people that are moved over to Section 7 now. Maybe we can work with them, and maybe we can try to get something
Liz
going.
Liz has gone over there with the megaphone.
She has.
And tried.
But we would love to do something like that. And
we
won't quit, but we don't have high expectations.
We have extended the olive branch many times. It's time to meet us in the
middle. Johnny, man, just surrender yourself and come to the dark side, man.
We don't bite. Well,
Liz does.
Liz does, but... Sir Oinkity, he wants to know why we never play big teams, MLS or European, either preseason and midseason. We've talked about it before. These aren't free endeavors. If you bring over a European team, you have to pay them. So again, when it comes down to, is it worth our money to maybe get the team some more exposure versus signing a forward? I mean, maybe.
Well, and going back to the stadium too, you're going to have to go to a bigger place that you don't own. That's going to cost you money.
Yeah.
And preseason.
Preseason, I will say, last year we did play MLS teams. We played Orlando City. Florida. We played DC United.
But the thing is that I really don't care because I'm more worried about getting our team ready for the season.
I agree. When the preseason schedule came out, I was a little disappointed by not playing any big teams, but it didn't work last year.
Louisville didn't play any big teams last year. How'd it turn out for them?
Right. So we have done it. I'm not saying we'll never do it again. It just didn't work this year.
I don't care.
And you know what, though? Minnesota United is training at the same college we're playing at. I imagine there's playing some scrimmages down there with Minnesota United. They're just not telling us about it.
Wouldn't be surprised. I mean, again, you have the opportunity. Run with it.
Yeah. But they may do it again in the future. And I know they've talked about...
Wait, the Minnesota United that we're affiliated with?
And I know they've talked about doing mid-season friendlies against bigger teams. Apparently, we were real close last year to doing it with a German team. It just didn't work out for whatever reason. So I wouldn't say it's completely off the table.
Well, and the other thing is, too, is that the better you do in the Open Cup, the less point there is to it. I mean, I hate to say it that way. I'd rather have a good run in the Open Cup.
Yeah, but it may happen again.
I also imagine that the preseason, it's a they call us, we don't call them looking for a game. The DC United call us and say, we're in the area. Do you want a game?
Well, and last year we trained at IMG Academy. There's a lot of options with that. You know, there are different tournaments. We might get invited to one at some point. So far we haven't. We'll just have to see how it goes.
We're on the outside.
But again, you start winning, then maybe, you know, Carolina invites us to their little Carolina Cup challenge because we're a draw. Right now we're not a draw. Mike Teller wants to know, why is the team giving away tickets to a beer fest the same day as the SIU game? It's a good point, Mike. The reason is they're sponsoring, they're one of the sponsors of this beer fest, and they're doing that to get more people to see our logo, to see the team, and part of that sponsorship, they get to give away some tickets. So, yes, I'm not going to go. Well, actually, if you win the brunch, that's actually before the game.
Yeah, and I'm going.
You can win the brunch. If you win the tasting, that's the same time as the game. But think of it as, hey, St. Louis FC is giving you these free tickets to this beer tasting, and then maybe the next weekend when you don't have anything to do, you'll come to a St. Louis FC game because they gave you free tickets to a wine tasting. So
a breakfast menu looks amazing.
That's why they're doing it. And yes, you can win the brunch and still go to brunch and then come to the game. So it's a sponsorship thing. That's why.
Good to get the name out there.
Yes. Chris Freeman wants to know, this one's for Bird only. Are there any current Ambush players that could help out St. Louis FC and Ant?
Jake Causey.
Oh, I like Jake Causey.
Oh, Jake. I miss Jake.
I didn't know he was playing for Ambush.
He's injured right now, but he's on the roster. He's the one with USL experience that immediately comes to mind.
Is he still in Colorado, or
I think he got released. Okay. Or at the end of his three-year contract came to an end. But Jake Causey, he's got
USL. Jake's a player, yeah.
Yeah, he's got USL experience. I've got to be honest, I've enjoyed the little side gig I've got there. The team, the results haven't been there, but it's been a big improvement from last year. They could end the season 5-15. I can't see them winning the last game against Monterrey because Monterrey lights out. But it's been fun. I've enjoyed it. I'll give a shout out to Pat Kelly, who it was his first season doing soccer.
Your co-host.
Yeah.
Pat Kelly, former ticket.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Sorry, Pat Kelly, the announcer. He does hockey for Lindenwood. And it was his first time doing play-by-play for soccer, and he has just nailed it. He has absolutely been lights out brilliant.
Good.
It's been fun. I've enjoyed it.
And we know there's a lot of people that go out there and have a good time. So, yes, if you're an indoor soccer fan, go check our friends out, our buddy Matt Bird on the call at the Ambush. This one is going to take a little thinking, but I had the question ahead of time, so I went ahead and sketched it out. Stuart wants to know, what do you think our starting 11 is? And I will couch that with, we haven't seen any of these guys play. We have not seen a game yet. But I put my starting 11 on a piece of paper, and you guys can change it or agree with me as you will. Gomez in goal.
Yep.
But since he's not there, we're going to start with Fennelson.
Yep.
In the back, I've got Fink and Reynolds as our center backs, just because I know more about them.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know how good Kavita is. Kavita might supplant one of those, but I don't know. Right now, I say Fink and Reynolds. I've got Culbertson out on the left, and I've got Barden on the right.
Okay.
With Aiden Stanley in parentheses there on the left. I don't know how much time he's going to get.
Yeah.
I got Tony Walls in the central holding mid. I got Wall Fall in the more forward central mid. Here's the thing. We've got three right midfielders on our roster and no true left midfielder. So I'm thinking Dakers and Kalistri up there kind of interchanging with each other, and Martz to spell them. Or
Martz can play on the left.
Okay, so maybe Martz.
Don't over you there. Remember when he was on the pod?
Yeah.
No, but he's
preferred, listed as a right.
His preferred position.
He prefers right.
But we don't really have a true left midfielder. And then I got Herzog and Bolesky up top. So I think we've got a lot of attacking power.
And I think everyone's looking at Dakers and Herzog as, you know, the two big splashes this year.
Kalistri.
But Kalistri and Walfall, they could be seriously underrated. Yeah.
Kalistri is the one that I think is going to surprise a lot of people, that they didn't quite realize what he's capable of.
You know, but the thing is, I thought that about Dalgard last year, man, and it just
I still don't understand what happened with Dalgard, and I don't know where Dalgard is. I mean,
it sounds like it was a personality.
But I can't believe someone hasn't snapped him up already, as good as he was with Oklahoma the year before.
Yeah. We were talking about Seth, and Seth scored his 7 goals.
Yeah.
It wasn't that Seth stood out, it was the fact that Dalgard and Milan didn't deliver the same.
Right. But Stuart, that's my starting 11.
I think you're right there. I personally, I would have Reynolds as a right back. I don't know why.
Well, if you move Reynolds, then you could put Kavita into that central spot.
And you've also got the potential of Walls playing center back if need be. But I think Walls is...
I think we need Walls more in the midfield.
I agree.
But I would like to get some cover on both sides in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could find a natural right or left midfielder.
I don't know how... Lewis Hilton might be a left winger.
But is he a starter?
I don't know. Yeah. From what I've heard, he's good for coming on at the 60th minute with pace. You know, a Jordan Roberts type. I don't know how many minutes and how regular Barden was last year at Ottawa.
I think he had quite a few games, but again, right, this is me saying this without having seen some of these guys play.
I agree.
Ever.
I haven't even got to watch training this year.
The only time I ever saw Barden was when he rinsed us out up in Ottawa last year.
Right. So, but that's where I'd start, and then we can make adjustments as necessary.
Who's your captain? There's a question.
I have a feeling it's going to really come out, like, you know, that we're missing it, not being able to see the training that we're...
Yeah.
A guy like Wall Fall could be a captain.
I can't see past Walls.
I think he's perfect, especially if you want to go with somebody who's got a little time with the team.
Mm-hmm.
Walls, Reynolds, or Fink.
Reynolds could be a...
Fink is a guy that...
Walls, Reynolds, and Fink. That's my three. It's, I mean, anyone.
Reynolds is a guy who will not shy away from sharing his opinion.
Right.
And good. And we need that. No,
that's what I'm saying. That's a good thing. So, yeah, that could be good. But, yeah, we need to see a couple of games. You know, I imagine when we see the game against SIU and we see him out there talking on the field, we'll see who's taking a leadership role.
I imagine that at that game, everything will fall into place in our mind.
And they'll have had a couple games together, and they know what they're doing.
Kills me we can't watch the Florida stuff.
I know. Jeremy did want me to mention that the SIU friendly, they're actually going to be playing two 75-minute games. So,
oh, double the pleasure.
Yeah, and to get some different guys in and some different combinations of guys in. So I imagine, you know, the games down in Florida, these are preseason games. They're not regular games. They'll be, you know, rotating guys in and out. And
three halves of 30 minutes
kind of thing. Right. We'll want to see the combination of those two at center back, then these two at center back, and then maybe the other two at center back. You know, they'll be trying different things. So don't be surprised if you see a lot of chopping and changing in these preseason games. I just want to hit again the dates coming up. February 24th. Tailgate starts at 12:30. The kickoff is at 2:30. That'll be at Soccer Park against SIUE. There will be other events going on at the park, so it's kind of crazy around there. You know, there'll be games on the side fields and stuff, so just come down to the back of the park where we normally tailgate, and we'll be partying. February 25th, the AGM at Kirkwood Station Brewing. That doors open at noon. We'll probably kick off around 1:30, depending on when the players get there after training. And I know Kirkwood Station Brewing is having some little things going on. They're going to make some announcements and some fun things for the fans. March 3rd and 4th, March 3rd at 4 p.m., March 4th at 11 a.m., those will be the games against Denver FC. Again, preseason games. And then March 10th will be in Evansville for 4 p.m. game versus Louisville.
I'll be there at 8 a.m. Chomping at the bit.
Yeah, we will be carpooling down. If you're looking for a ride, make sure you post something on Twitter or Facebook, and we'll try to find you a spot in a car. But with the exception of Evansville, I think the Evansville game is a $5 pay at the door. All the games at Soccer Park will be free. So
yay.
This is a good reason to bring your friend. Let them know what we're all about. And also buy season tickets or flex tickets.
And parking passes.
A couple things. I saw the production sample of the scarf for the This Is Silly Pod.
Yeah.
It looks good. It's back on.
We have sold like 59 out of the 100.
Yeah. So
if you want one, you really need to order one because they're going fast.
Yes, they will be gone soon. We also are going to have a few stickers available, and those we're going to just throw on the merch table. Like the St. Luligan stickers, and it'll just be a charity donation if you wanted This Is Silly Pod sticker. And we didn't order very many of those, so if you want those, you might want to get them on the first game.
We're like limited edition kind of people.
We are. We're like poor kind of people. Yeah, that's and the very last thing I wanted to announce before we...
You're pregnant.
I'm not pregnant, but I want to say happy birthday to our good friend, Steve Petcher.
It's his birthday.
Men's national team hero, St. Louis Steamer.
Enemy in Wichita.
Marked Pele in his first professional game. That was his job.
He played with the real NASL and marked Pele. He switched jerseys with Canalia.
And Cruyff.
But
he gave that away because...
Because
that...
He doesn't care.
Because he's the most interesting man in the world.
The stories, man. The stories he told on this couch were amazing.
We're going to have him on again soon.
Yes, we did promise that we're going to have a Steamers edition. We're going to have some of the guys that played for the Steamers back in the good old days. We're going to have Petch on, and we'll try to squeeze that in sometime during the season.
We should probably do that soon before the season.
But yeah, we're out of time.
We should have done it in January, February.
I know, but we're lazy. But we will make it happen. But everybody join us in wishing Steve Petcher a happy birthday.
And clean the porta potties.
And yeah, make sure you keep those shitters clean, Steve. Anybody else got anything?
No. I am jonesing so hard for live football. It's not funny.
It won't be long.
That's exactly how I feel. I mean, as I say, for the longest part of the off season, I wrote about it this week. I was very apathetic. I was in a bit of a funk about it all. And it's like, what will be. But then, you know, the schedule comes out, the kits are about to get released, and all right, it's go time again. You start looking on orbits at hotel prices and...
Can't wait for the new green kits are gorgeous.
Yeah, Mitch got a sneak peek of the new home jersey, and he says it's nice.
I like it a lot, and they have fat guy sizes.
Well, there you go. That's the most important thing. And we've heard rumors of a third kit coming too.
Mm-hmm. And the Mission Taco kit looks nice for this upcoming year.
Mission Taco kit. There's all kind of good news that's going to start coming out now. And like I said, this will be our last week without watching the team either. Thank on the God. Stream or live in person. So.
Thank God.
We're ready.
So that means we're probably almost at that point of going weekly here.
We gotta switch it. We gotta start going weekly.
Wow. Are you gonna be able to handle it?
No.
I know.
No. I'm just gonna Skype in.
No. No.
We can play buzzword bingo.
No. No, you are not a pretend journalist. Knock it off.
I am a pretend journalist. It says so on my business card. That's all I got.
I don't think we have anything else. Like I said,
no, I'm good.
It's ready.
I did too much talking. Turn it off.
All right. I will do so.
Shut up, dickhead.